Hello and welcome to the Minot Vlogs, a podcast which goes over the Star Wars comic series, Legacy. I'm your host, Jake Harmon, and each week on the show, we dive into either one or two issues from the Legacy series. This week, we're going over issues 1 and 2 from the first story arc, Broken. Those more casual Star Wars fans may not be as familiar with the expanded universe, which is now referred to as Star Wars Legends, so it contains many details which many may find helpful. That said, if you already know the material or are particularly brave, go ahead and feel free to listen to this episode. With that said, let's go to the first page where we get to read an excerpt from Darth Cryat's personal holocron.
I have broken the spine of the galaxy. Nearly 100 years ago, the Yuuzhan Vong invaded, plunging the galaxy into a deep chaos, bleeding and weakening it. Patient in the Force, I waited as the galaxy grew darker. I watched as the invaders, finally defeated, were allowed to live in exile on the sentient planet Zonama Sekot. A folly designed by the Jedi, but ultimately that too served my purpose. Lingering hatred festered on worlds that had suffered heavily at the hands of the Yuuzhan Vong. That hatred gave us our opening. I made an alliance with the reborn Empire at Bastion. We manufactured a cause for war, making the Vong seem responsible. Split, the Galactic Alliance began to fight itself, and so died. I know the Jedi from old. They could never share my vision. 2 days ago, the Jedi Temple on Coruscant fell. Today, at their academy on Ossus, the last of the Jedi will die. Sometimes things must be broken in order to be rebuilt, as I have bent the Force at my will, so I will bend the galaxy, and it will know order. My true work is about to begin.
On the next page is an intense battle of two sides, one being the defending Jedi, and the other being the invading Imperials. On the Jedi side, there's Masters Cole Skywalker and Wolf Sazen, along with Padawan Cade Skywalker, who is Cole's son. Behind them is the ship full of Padawans, which is trying to leave Ossus. The Imperial side not only has Imperial TIE fighters, but also has Sith warriors, the most prominent Sith being Darth Nihl, one of Darth Cryat's closest advisors. Back on the Jedi side, Wolf is telling his Padawan, Cade, to leave with the other Padawans. Cade tries to argue, but his father tells him that it's his duty as a Skywalker to leave with the ship and make sure the Padawans survive. After a little bit more arguing, Cade is finally convinced to go, and Wolf comments to Cole that that's probably not the best way to send off his son. Cole's reply is that we take what is given. That phrase pops up a few more times throughout the series, so much in fact that it's almost like the "I have a bad feeling about this" from the movies. Finally, Darth Nihl tracks the two Jedi Masters down in the madness. During the vicious fight, he manages not only to cut off Master Sazen's arm, but he also manages to corner Cole. Back on the Padawan ship, Cade is trying to convince his fellow Padawan, Shado, to come with him and save his father. Shado refuses, saying that he needs to get everybody else off of Ossus. This results in Cade going out by himself. When he reaches Cole, he tells him that he's selfishly endangering the lives of the other Padawans by coming back out. Cade tries to protest, but Cole says that he has to take Sazen back to the ship and leave right now. Finally, Cade complies, and the ship lifts off with him and Sazen aboard. On the ship, one of the younger Padawans understandably starts to freak out about Sazen's missing arm. As he tries to comfort the Padawan, though, he loses consciousness and begins to die. Afraid, Cade unintentionally uses his unique power called Dark Transfer to save Sazen's life. Dark Transfer, according to Cade, allows you to see all of the fractures in someone's body. From there, you can either choose to mend them together or pry them further apart. The downside of using this, though, is that it sends the user into the dark side a bit, much like Force Lightning or such. After reviving Sazen, some of the Padawans try to approach Cade, but he snaps. He tells them all to stay away and that he's going to go after the Sith that murdered his father. In a fit of rage, he jumps into a fighter and storms off to go fight the TIE fighters. Seizin comes to the bridge with Shado and tries to convince Cade to come back and leave the system with them, but Cade pretends that there's static over the radio and he cuts off the transmission. Merely minutes later into the dogfight, Cade's ship is blown up. Shado believes that he's dead, but Seizin knows that Cade is still alive somehow, and as the ship jumps into hyperspace, he promises to find Cade wherever he may be. Back on Coruscant, Emperor Fel is holding a conference with his moffs about the fall of Ossus. Midway through the presentation, Darth Cryat, along with some of his fellow Sith, Darth Rylock, Darth Nil, and Darth Maladai, enter the throne room. Fel greets them and says that the Empire owes them a great debt for destroying the Jedi. He offers them any gift they may want, and Cryat responds that he wants the Emperor's life. Fel's personal bodyguards, the Imperial Knights, jump into action but are quickly slain by the Sith. Soon, only Fel is left standing, but that's not for long. Cryat steps over Fel's body and sits on the throne, where he demands that all the Moffs swear fealty to him. He demands that Morlish Veed goes first, because he is the most powerful. After all the Moffs doing so, he dismisses them. Outside in the hallway, Veed complains to his fellow Moff and lover, Nina Clackside, that he was supposed to become Emperor, not Cryat. She chides him for trusting a Sith, and says that soon they'll get their chance anyways. Back in the throne room, Darth Cryat throws Maladai to the ground in anger. He says that the man they just killed was not Fel, as the real Fel would have fought back because he had personal Imperial Knight training. Maladai tries to argue that Fel is just a man, and he can cause no damage to Cryat now. Cryat agrees, but says that as an idea, Fel can cause much more damage. If left alive, Fel will divide the military and even the Moff's loyalty, and then fracture the Empire. Cryat finally dismisses Maladai and Nil, and confesses in Darth Rylock that his health is failing faster than ever. Rylock offers to put Cryat back in cryosleep, but Cryat says no. He has an empire to rule now. He says that he felt a disruption in the Force earlier, and that if he can find that, he can find the key to healing himself. That disruption being Cade using the dark transfer. So that was issue number one, but before we move on to issue number two, I want to talk to you a little bit about Derek R. Audet. He's the guy who gave me the intro and outro music you hear in this podcast. The song I used is called 2 Feet Below 10 Million. If you want to check out his website, you can go to ours and go to the contributors page. If you want, go ahead and pause the podcast right now and look up mynock.weebly.com. That's mynock.weebly.com. With that said, let's move on to issue number two, which starts on the droid graveyard planet of Deluge, where the Jedi survivors are holding a secret meeting. One of the Masters complains about the dangers of Jedi gathering all in one place. He says that if it doesn't bring the bounty hunters, then it will bring the Sith. He looks to Wolf Seizin and says that he's looking for Cade again. Wolf admits that he is, and when pressed for reasoning, he says that the Jedi need to stand as a united front against the Sith, or they will be wiped out forever. As the Jedi squabble and argue, they are ambushed by the Sith. In the battle's aftermath, only Seizin and Shado are left standing. Shado accepts Seizin's offer to go with him and find Cade, and together they leave the droid graveyard behind. The scene now switches to the planet Lok, where the Zeltron Delia Blue is trying to gain access to Brogar's safe house. Inside the safe house, there are two people trying to book passage off of the planet. The first one being Naxi Screecher, who through dialogue reveals that he owes a great debt to the local crime lord, Rav. The other person trying to escape Lok is a Bothan named Hosk Freilus. He speaks to a captain, and in exchange for a favor the captain owes him, he gains passage off the planet. Outside, Delia finally sweet-talks her way in, and the guard makes the mistake of opening the door. As soon as he does that, Delia's companions, Cade Skywalker and Jiraiya Sin, burst in, guns blazing. They demand that they only want one person tonight, and that if nobody interferes, then nobody gets hurt. Hosk freaks out, believing they are here for him, and throws a table in their direction. They manage to dodge it, and Cade goes after Naxi, their real target, while sending Jiraiya after the Jedi. After a minute of fighting, Cade has Naxi in a headlock,
and he notices that Jiraiya is about to kill the Jedi with his gun. Cade throws Naxi at Jiraiya, knocking him off balance, and Delia tries to use a non-lethal stun dart to stop the Bothan Jedi. When that fails, Jiraiya uses a Yuuzhan Vong weapon called a Thud Bug to knock him out. As the whole fiasco settles down, the owner of the establishment, Rogar, comes in with armed battle droids. He says that Cade has gone too far and that those two are under his protection. Cade tells Rogar that Hosk is a Jedi. Cade reminds him that if the Empire found out he was harboring a Jedi, then he would be in deep trouble. When Rogar realizes that Hosk is a Jedi, he immediately starts backtracking and says that he must have used a Jedi mind trick. As a sign of good grace, he lets Cade walk off with not only Hosk, but also Naxi. When they are finally secure in their speeder, Cade asks Jiraiya why he was trying to kill the Jedi. Jiraiya says that even though a Jedi is worth much more alive, a dead Jedi can't use mind tricks on you. Cade and Delia poke fun at Jiraiya for being so afraid of the Jedi, and Naxi tries to convince Cade to let him go. After Cade refuses, Hosk then tries to plead his own case. He says that what will happen when Cade turns him into Cryet is nothing any sentient being deserves. All Cade says in return is that it's a tough galaxy. The scene switches again to the Sith Temple on Coruscant, where Cryet is talking to Darth Ruin. Before them is Ruin's latest apprentice, Darth Talon. Cryet is checking on the progress and seeing how far Talon's skills have progressed. Cryet asks Talon if Ruin was a good teacher, and if she cares for and respects him. When she replies that she does, Cryet orders her to kill him. Without hesitation, she pulls out her lightsaber and strikes him down. Cryet asks her if she knows why she did that, and Talon replies that she does, because he told her to. Appeased, Cryet makes her his Emperor's hand. Her first mission, he says, is to track down Rowan Fell's daughter, Princess Marisia Fell. Cryet tells Talon that she must go to the Imperial mission on Sorico to find her. Now, before we move on, I want to talk about two things. The first one being the Imperial Mission. The Imperial Mission was an organization set up after the Second Galactic Civil War. The members of the mission are called missionaries, and they work to help the people of the Empire. Currently, many of the missionaries follow Fell instead of Cryet. The second thing I wanted to talk about was the Emperor's Hand. That was a position established by Palpatine, and is basically the Emperor's personal assassin. They also perform dignitary functions and black ops operations. Perhaps one of the most famous Emperor's Hand was Mara Jade. Those familiar with Star Wars Legends probably remember her as Luke Skywalker's wife. She started off as an Emperor's Hand, and upon the destruction of the second Death Star, she vowed to track down Luke and kill him for killing Palpatine. Instead of killing him, though, they were forced into a dangerous situation where they needed to rely on each other to survive. During this time, they bonded and eventually fell in love. The reason I wanted to talk about Mara Jade specifically, though, is because she shows up later in the story as a Force ghost. She almost fills the void as Cade's mother, watching over him and giving him advice, even though he may not want it. But anyways, back to the storyline. The scene changes a final time to the burning mission on Sirocco, where Imperial Knight Elk Vedder is fighting Darth Talon. Through her strength, Talon prevails and cuts off Elk's hand. As she stands there torturing Elk, Elk tries to say that the princess and her companion have already escaped. Talon says that she knows that, and Marisia isn't the most important thing. If Marisia runs, she'll go to Fell. Finally, Talon electrocutes Elk to death. A little whiles away, Marisia and her companion, Astral Veo, are running. Marisia stops when she feels Elk's death in the Force. She tries to go back and avenge her master, but Astral convinces her to keep going. Risking her life now would dishonor Elk's memory. Finally, Marisia agrees, and they continue running as the issue ends.
I want to thank you all for listening to the episode, and if you'll stick around a little while longer, I want to talk to you a little bit about our social media pages. You can find our website at mynock.weebly.com. At our humble abode, we have show notes, a calendar of our release schedule, as well as a forum feature. You can find our Facebook pages as MynockVlogs and Twitter as @Mynock, respectively. You can email in your thoughts about the show to theMynockVlogs@gmail.com. I would like to point out that the MynockVlogs has no affiliations with Disney or any other Star Wars-related company. Thank you again for listening, and have a wonderful day.